Chapter 19. A week passed. A week without FBI or Treasury agents knocking on his door with badges and questions about bad money, tracked down in Atlantic City. A week with no sign of Dolph or anyone else following him. A week of the normal routine of running 5 miles in the morning and being a law professor after that. He flew the Bonanza 3 times, each a lesson with Fogg at his right elbow, and each lesson paid for on the spot with cash. "Casino money," he said with a grin. And it wasn't a lie. Fogg was anxious to return to Atlantic City to reclaim his lost assets. Ray had no interest, but it wasn't a bad idea. He could boast of another good day at the tables and keep paying cash for his flying lessons. The money was now in 37F. 14B was still rented to Ray Attlee, and it still held the old clothes and the cheap furniture. 37F was rented to NDY Ventures, named in honor of the 3 flight instructors at Dockers. Ray's name was nowhere on the paperwork for 37F. He leased it for 3 months in cash. "I want this confidential," he said to Mrs. Cheney.
"Everything's confidential around here. We get all types."
She gave him a conspiratorial look as if to say, "I don't care what you're hiding, just pay me." He had moved it 1 box at a time, hauling it at night under the cover of darkness, with a security guard watching from a distance. Storage space 37F was identical to 14B, and when the 6 boxes were safely tucked away, he had vowed once again to leave it alone and not stop by every day. It had never occurred to him that hauling around $3 million could be such a chore. Harry Rex had not called. He had sent another overnight package with more of the same letters of sympathy and such. Ray was compelled to read them all, or at least scan them just in case there was a second cryptic note. There was not. Exams came and went, and after graduation, the law school would be quiet for the summer. Ray said goodbye to his students, all but Kaylee, who, after her last exam, informed Ray she had decided to stay in Charlottesville through the summer. She pressed him again for a pre-graduation rendezvous of some sort, just for the hell of it. "We are waiting until you are no longer a student," Ray said, holding his ground but wanting to yield. They were in his office with the door open.
"That's a few days away," she said.
"Yes, it is."
"Then let's pick a date."
"No, let's graduate first, then we'll pick a date." She left him with the same lingering smile and look, and Ray knew that she was trouble. Carl Merck caught him gazing down the hall as she walked away in very tight jeans.
"Not bad," Carl said.
Ray was slightly embarrassed but kept watching anyway. "She's after me," he said.
"You're not alone. Be careful."
They were standing in the hallway next to the door to Ray's office. Carl handed him an odd-looking envelope and said,
"Thought you'd get a kick out of this."
"What is it?"
"It's an invitation to the Buzzard Ball."
"The what?" Ray was pulling out the invitation.
"The first ever Buzzard Ball. Probably the last, too. It's a black tie gala to benefit the preservation of bird life in the Piedmont. Look at the hosts."
Ray read it slowly. "Vicky and Lou Radowski cordially invite you to...
The Liquidator is now saving our birds. Touching, huh?
$5,000 a couple.
I think that's a record for Charlottesville.
It was sent to the dean. He's on the A-list. We are not. Even his wife was shocked at the price.
Susie's shockproof, isn't she?
Or so we thought. They want 200 couples. They'll raise $1 million or so and show everybody how it's done. That's the plan, anyway. Susie says they'll be lucky to get 30 couples.
She's not going?
No, and the dean is very relieved. He thinks it's the first black tie shindig they'll miss in the last 10 years.
Music by the Drifters, Ray said as he scanned the rest of the invitation. That'll cost him $50,000.
What a fool.
That's Charlottesville. Some clown bails out from Wall Street, gets a new wife, buys a big horse farm, starts throwing money around, and wants to be the big man in a small town.
Well, I'm not going.
You're not invited.
Keep it. Carl was off, and Ray returned to his desk, invitation in hand. He put his feet on his desk, closed his eyes, and began daydreaming. He could see Kaylee in a slinky black dress with no back at all, slits up past her thighs,
Very low V-neck, drop-dead gorgeous. 13 years younger than Vicky. A hell of a lot fitter. Out there on the dance floor with Ray, who was not a bad dancer himself, bobbing and jerking to the Motown rhythms of the Drifters, while everybody watched and whispered, "Who's that?" And in response, Vicky would be forced to drag old Lou out onto the floor. Lou in his designer tux, which could not hide his dumpy little belly. Lou with shrubs of bright gray hair above his ears. Lou the old goat trying to buy respect by saving the birds. Lou with the arthritic back and slow feet who moves like a dump truck. Lou proud of his trophy wife and her million-dollar dress, which reveals too much of her magnificently starved bones. Ray and Kaylee would look much better, dance much better, and, well, what would all that prove? A nice scene to visit, but give it up. Now that he had the money, he wouldn't waste it on nonsense like that.